Good afternoon. My name is Steve Price, and I want to welcome you here for this Christmas Eve worship service this afternoon. If you are with us for the first time, we are especially glad that you have made the choice to be here with us tonight. You're going to have an opportunity over the next hour or so to sing some familiar carols, to hear special Christmas music, to receive a message of hope and encouragement, and then to be a part of offering hope and encouragement to some children in our community through our special offering. You'll hear a little bit more about that later in the service, but I would point your attention to the front panel just inside the bulletin if you'd like to go ahead and get a sneak preview of what that's about tonight. And in the bulletin, you'll also see some information about some other things that are coming up in the life of Trinity that may be of interest to you. One thing that we want to make sure you don't miss is the opportunity to come back after Christmas and join us for worship, for a series of messages that we think may speak very pertinently to folks here in this room tonight. So I want to give you a chance to get a taste of what that's about. So if you'll turn your attention to the screens right now, you'll get a sneak preview.
So Aaron and I met at work, and the first few times that we interacted together did not go well at all.
But later, our workplace had put together a team to cycle to charity. Together, and 75 miles a day, 2 days in a row, and we got stuck together, just the two of us.
We did, because the rest of the team failed to show up that morning. It was just Aaron and I, and you told me stories about your days as a submariner.
So we got to know each other better.
We did, and that went well.
And I asked her out on our first date.
And I said yes.
And we went to Campeche Bay.
I had fish tacos.
I had chimichanga.
I took a friend out for her birthday, and I was playing Mama Hen.
I was called by a friend and forced to come out, but it turned out a beautiful two-week journey.
While we were out, he bumped into my friend, and he was saying happy birthday and celebrate and all this, and I walked over because I wanted to play police and make sure that he was a good guy. And he actually turned out to be okay.
Goodish. And we talked for the rest of the evening.
Well, I was a medical student there. No, an intern, a medical intern. And she was a third-year nursing student in the same medical school and nursing school in the Philippines, in Manila. And there was a convocation one afternoon sponsored by the nursing class, and she was singing, and I, with three of my best friends, were looking down where she was singing, and I told my friends, "That's my wife," and they all laughed. Said, "You didn't even know her." You said, "I said, well, I promise you, she'll be my wife."
Steve and I were college sweethearts and started dating our junior year in college, but it got very serious very quickly. So when he came down to visit me here in Gainesville that Christmas, I was sure that I was going to fall in love. But as soon as I saw him, I realized I couldn't live without him.
Thank goodness for that. And now 30 years later, our story continues to unfold. You know, every marriage has a story, and we are so excited about the upcoming message series here at Trinity beginning January 8th. We'd love for you to come and join us as we share some of the things that we've learned along the way about what makes for healthy relationships.
So whether you're married or in a relationship or not, we think there'll be something for you. So we invite you to come and bring a friend.
So we do want to encourage you to come back and join us after the beginning of the year. And between now and then, there are a couple of special opportunities for worship tomorrow morning. There will be one worship service here at Trinity at 10 a.m. It's a family-friendly experience, lots of singing again, a blessing of the toys, so children can come in their PJs. They'll come down at one point in the service, and we'll share a special moment with them and then continue on in worship. And then the following Sunday, we will be back to our regular schedule on New Year's Day with 8:15, 9:40, and 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. services. Again, welcome tonight, though. This is the night when we come and celebrate the good news that God chose to come and be among us in the person of Jesus Christ. So would you stand now and greet one another as we begin to worship and say Merry Christmas to each other.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Would you remain standing as you're able and join me in our opening carol, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Christ is born. Give him glory.
O God, we give you our faith and praise.
Jesus has come down from heaven. Receive him.
O God, we give you our faith and praise.
Jesus is now on earth. Shout for joy.
O God, we give you our faith and praise.
Let us dance with delight in the Lord, and let our hearts be filled with rejoicing. The light of Christ shine in our lives and through us out into the world. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Will you please pray with me? O wondrous God of the stars, we come tonight with breathless wonder to see the babe who will change our hearts and lives. You have touched the earth this night with your relentless grace and unconditional love. Touch us this magical night. Touch our hearts and minds and souls. May we never tire of this story, and may we never take it for granted. Amen. Children, would you please come during the last verse of this hymn for the children's moment. Gather here at the stage.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly sing.
Shall we stay, oh, 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 oh.
Welcome, friends. I am glad that you are here for this service tonight, and I'm glad that you came up to spend a few moments with me this evening. How many of you have a nightlight at home in your room or maybe in your bathroom or in the hallway? Yeah, quite a few of you, right? Can you tell me why you have a nightlight? Can somebody tell me why you have a nightlight? Anybody? Can you tell me why you have a nightlight? Because you're afraid of the dark. And when you have a nightlight, it helps you be able to see a little bit, right? So it's not quite so dark. Isn't that amazing that a room like this, as big as this room, it could be completely dark where none of us could see a thing. And it's going to get that way a little bit later tonight. But if somebody just had one little light, one candle, one flashlight, it would give you enough light to be able to find your way, right? Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of what the Christmas story is like. That when things feel dark and scary or lonely, what we know through the story of Christmas is that God sent Jesus into the world to be light. In fact, that's a way we talk about Jesus sometimes, as the light of the world. And when Jesus comes into the world, even though he came and he showed up in this small, tiny baby that was born in a manger that we're going to sing about, that baby grew up and became the one who was the light of the world for us, so that no matter what, we would be able to find our way in the world. Now, I see a couple of you have candles with you, and I bet a lot more of you have candles back in your seat. And later in the service tonight, we're going to light these candles, and we're going to hold them up and remember. And then I want to invite you to take that candle home with you and keep it somewhere as a reminder that no matter how scary things are, no matter how dark things may feel, that Jesus is always there with you to help you find your way in this world. Can you say good news? And will you pray with me? God, thank you for good news, that indeed you are with us always through Jesus Christ, there to show us the way and to save us from all that might separate us from you. In his name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to go back to your seats now. We're going to sing some more, all right? Thanks for coming. Celebrate the birth of that small child in a manger. And as we celebrate the birth of Christ, we also can give thanks for the birth of every child as a gift that God sends to the world. Tonight, our offering goes to bless some of those children in our own community. And better than I can share it are a couple of our friends from Rawlings Elementary. And so I want to invite you to turn your attention to the screens to hear from them now at this time. Take a look.
I'll show you things of snow, and I won't post something slow. Over the things we've got, let me move away.
Hello, Trinity United Methodist Church. My name is Daniel Burney, and I currently serve as a principal here at Rawlings Elementary Center for Fine Arts. you so much for your support. You've enjoyed a great partnership with Faith Mission and Trinity United Methodist over the past couple of years, and we look to strengthen that bond through a new endeavor and a new initiative that we have to renovate our entire Mid Media Center. We truly believe that our students and faculty and staff are better when we work together than when we work separate. So we want to encourage collaborative learning and collaborative creation by making this whole space a 21st century area for learning. Some of the things that we want to do, if you see this, a pretty much open concept media center, we want to recreate some of the spaces. For instance, we want to create a corner for collaborative learning with new creation spaces like Makerspace. We want to make sure that we continue the support that we have from Trinity United Methodist to help us with our photography lab and bring that right into this space as well. We want to make sure that our robotics program has an opportunity to grow and flourish in this space, and we're going to do a number of professional developments where our adults, faculty, and staff, and even staff members from around Alachua County, we want to make this a hub for 21st century innovative creation. And with your help, I'm sure we all can do this to be successful, because like I said before, we work better together than we do separately. Once again, thank you so much for your support.
Yeah, the reason I'm excited about this new project is because I think everybody should be able to create the things they imagine and be able to have their input in different things and have wild imaginations and create the different things they like to create. But I'm glad that we're all able to work together, because when we work together, it helps us experience different things and able to grow into life. And so we won't be shy of anything else, and it builds our encouragement with different people and able to talk in front of different people. And for me, I like vocal music art, because it lets me express myself by using my voice and inspiring other people by using my voice for them to use their voice and help them have more encouragement. Thank you, Trinity, and have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
I invite you to give generously to this effort. All of our offerings from the five services tonight will go toward making this dream possible for these kids. You can give through the offering that will be taken here in just a moment. You also may have noticed in your bulletin there's a QR code for those of you who would like to simply scan that. It will take you directly to our webpage where you can give that way as well. Will you join me in a word of prayer now? God, we are so grateful for the good news that we received tonight of the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we respond now in a way that will bless other children. So take what we offer and use it to bring hope and encouragement and promise for the future. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
again the story that is familiar to many of us. It's the story of that very first Christmas, and we read it over and over again year after year on this night. And we trust that God will speak to us through the word that we hear. So I invite you to read along with me on the screens or in your Bibles as we read of that first Christmas together. In those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled in the tax lists. This first enrollment occurred when Quirinius governed Syria. Everyone went to their own cities to be enrolled. Since Joseph belonged to David's house and family line, he went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to David's city, called Bethlehem in Judea. He went to be enrolled together with Mary, who was promised to him in marriage, and who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to have her baby. She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son, wrapped him snugly and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the guest room. Nearby shepherds were living in the fields, guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them. The Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you. Wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby, wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great assembly of heavenly forces was with the angel praising God. They said, "Glory to God in the heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go right now to Bethlehem and see what's happened. Let's confirm what the Lord has revealed to us." They went quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw this, they reported what they had been told about this child. Everyone who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds told them. Mary committed these things to memory and considered them carefully. The shepherds returned home, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Everything happened just as they had been told. This is the word of God for the people of God. And God's people say, thanks be to God. Let me invite you to bow your heads and pray for me this evening in sharing this message with you, as I pray for you that God will speak to you and you will hear a word. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So here they come. Angels from on high are coming down to earth to share the good news with shepherds. These were the same angels who were there at the very creation of the world, and now they are there to announce the salvation of the world. But to shepherds? The angels must have plugged their GPS into the wrong location. Because why on earth would God send angels to share the good news first with shepherds? Shepherds, they're really smelly and dirty, and they only did the work that no one else wanted to do. They only did that work because nobody else would. to it. I remember when we first moved to Bradenton about 20 years ago, and the manager of Schrader Manatee Ranch took us on a tour of the ranch. It was a 20,000-acre working ranch. They had cattle and citrus and turf and trees. And when we got to the turf-cutting area, there was this tractor that was riding along, and it had a sharp tool on the back that would slice right underneath the turf and make a perfect section of sod. And then there was a trailer that was being pulled behind the tractor, and the sod was put up on that trailer and stacked neatly on a pallet. And then there was this person who was walking behind the trailer. And that was what astounded me the most. Here was this person who was walking continually bent over, and he had sharp hooks in his hands, and he would hook under that piece of sod and take it and throw it up on the back of the pallet, continually hooking and throwing. He was dripping with sweat. He was filthy, dirty, covered with a thick layer of dirt. I remember saying to the ranch manager, "Wow, that literally looks like back-breaking work." And he said, "Yes, this is the most despised of all occupations. Only the Mexican workers will do this work for this kind of money." The most despised of all occupations. Working on a land that is not their own. Traveling around with no real place to call home. Treated by many people as non-persons. Does that mean today that the angel's GPS would focus in on Mexican farm workers cutting sod? Why on earth would God come first to sod cutters or shepherds? You know, if God had a good business plan, God would have sent the angels to the movers and shakers in town, right? Surely there had to be better options than the shepherds, than them, to get the word out and to share the good news. There had to have been people who would be much more respected. There had to be people who would be better business people, better at marketing, more professional skills, more managerial skills. Why on earth would God come to the shepherds? For that matter, why on earth didn't God choose to come to a better family who lived in a nicer area? Again, there had to be other options. Just think about how much more effectively and expeditiously Jesus could have shared God's message of good news if he was born to a more prestigious family, a more influential family. Perhaps a business tycoon, or perhaps someone with a lot of political influence. Maybe a couple who had a fabulous pedigree and world-class education. Or at least the family of a priest, right? So we would have had a proper scholarly religious education. But instead, Jesus was born to a teenage girl and a working-class carpenter in Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? That's what they used to say. That's the kind of reputation that Nazareth had. Why would God choose to be born in a poor family in a backwater town? And then there's the matter of going to Bethlehem and being born in a stable. That's the equivalent today of being born in the restroom of a truck stop, in the shadow of a neon sign flashing no vacancy. And finally, why on earth would God enter the world in a vulnerable newborn baby? God could have chosen to save the world through Caesar Augustus or some other powerful ruler. It seems like it would have been much more logical to choose someone who had lots of power and might and all of the world's resources at their fingertips, right? But with all of these choices, God decided to reach out to us through an innocent child born in a cattle stall, to an unwed mother and a working class father from a small town, uninspiring, and to share that good news through poor shepherds who were in the field at night guarding their sheep. It all seems rather foolish, doesn't it? But then again, the Apostle Paul says, the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. With all those choices, God came to save us, to save the world through ordinary, imperfect, simple, and yet complicated people. People somewhat like us. So God took a risk and came to us in a weak and vulnerable baby. And that's who we meet tonight. A child has been born for us, a son given to us, and authority will rest upon his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. He's definitely not what we expected, not what we anticipated, not what we were looking for, and yet, in the end, he is the only hope that will not disappoint. You know, you may be sitting out there this evening on this night of nights, on this holy night, and you're wondering if you are holy enough, if you are good enough, if you are faithful enough, if you are committed enough, enough for God to want to save you, to want you, to forgive you, to love you, to extend grace to you. You know what? The answer to that is yes. Without a doubt, yes. God came to earth for you, and 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 even for me. God came for us all. God came to save us. Why on earth did God come to earth? God took on human flesh to become like us. We who are weak and imperfect and selfish and even foolish. The Apostle John says, the Word became flesh and lived among us. And to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. Why on earth? Christ came to earth to be like us, so that we could be like him. What a strange way to save the world. And yet, thank God. Please pray with me. worship God. You have come not at all as we have expected, as we would have anticipated. And yet you have come on earth, born in a tiny child, placed in a manger to an unwed mother and a working class father. And you, through that tiny infant, have come to change the world and to change each one of us. So tonight, O God, open our hearts. Open us to your presence, to your love, to your grace. Because you have come to save us so that we might be children of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Sure, you must have been surprised where this road had taken him. 'Cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come alive. And Joseph said, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him? With all the rulers in the world. Why him? Inside the stable filled with hay. Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say. This is such a strange way to save the world. Of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. Held the Savior in his arms. He must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him? With all the rulers in the world. Why here? Inside the stable filled with hay. Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say. But this is such a strange way to save the world. Such a strange way to save the world.
our attention moved away from the stable and Mary and Joseph, angels and shepherds, to the place where Jesus chose to spend his final meal with his disciples. For here we remember that the baby grew up, and that person in Jesus lived among us. He felt our deepest sorrows and the fullness of the joys that we can experience. And we remember here at the table the great mystery that Christ died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. The truth is that God has and continues to consistently take risks using unexpected means and the unlikeliest of people to carry forward his plan for salvation. It was in a manger that the light of the world, the creator of the universe, was cradled. And then Jesus went to the cross, paying the price for us that we could never pay to win our salvation. And then rising up from the grave, Christ conquered sin and death so that we too can rise and live abundantly and everlasting, not only after death, but here and now. And we enter into that amazing and strange saga of salvation every single time we have the courage and take the risk, like the disciples and all those who have come before us, to respond and to continue responding to God's amazing and unfailing grace. And we are welcome here at this table to come just as we are. We know that because Christ surrounded himself that last night of his life with those who would betray him and those who would deny him. And for them and for all of us, he took the bread and he gave thanks to the Father and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup and he gave thanks to the Father. And he gave the cup to the disciples and said, "Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on this common bread and cup, that they may be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ. In the fullness of time, you came to dwell among us, bringing light into our darkness. Indeed, love was born at Christmas. Love that wasn't scared to take on flesh and get dirty in our muck and our mire. Love that is boundless and timeless. So deep and so profound that nothing can ever be the same once it is encountered. So may we encounter that love anew tonight. Love that heals and forgives and makes us whole. Help us to hear, to really hear and believe the strange and good news of the angels. Open our eyes to see, like the shepherds, the truth of your salvation, and empower us to respond like the wise men by offering all that we are and all that we have as our act of worship. As we come to your table, make us one with you and one with each other, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ, filled with your peace and your hope and your joy and your love, as we carry the light of Christ into dark places and continuously proclaim the glorious story of Christmas in our everyday, ordinary life. Amen. And now, with the confidence of God's children, will you pray with me the words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are going to be serving with us to come forward now to receive those elements. United Methodist Church, you do not need to be a member of this church or any church to come and participate in Holy Communion. All are welcome at Christ's table. And so in front of your sections, you're going to see a pair of servers. And we're going to invite you in just a moment to come forward and receive. If you'll come from the front row, moving backwards, exiting to the left, to the servers in front of you, they will tear off a piece of bread and they will hand it to you. And then you dip that bread into the cup, and you can eat it. You are welcome to come and meditate and pray here at the rails if you would like, or you can return by the right side of your section to your seats to sing and pray. We want to let you know that gluten-free is available for you if that is a need that you have. It is gluten- and dairy-free, coconut-based, and you can receive that by coming to the front sections on either side here. But come, for all is ready. And Christ longs to meet with you here at this table.
the ushers that will be coming to each section to assist you with that. They will start it at the ends of the rows, and then you'll be passing the light down to others along with your row to help you and others keep from getting burned and also to save the carpet, if you would. Yes. Like that. So the lit candle is best upright, and if you will take your unlit candle and use it to light it from the lit flame, and then just continue it on down the road until all have had a chance to have their candles lit. And as we are doing this, you will be able to begin participating in just a moment in singing Silent Night as well.
Let me invite you to bring down the light. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Let me invite you to stand. Thank you. Then we'll sing joy to the world, and then at the end, we'll go out into that world. And now receive this blessing. As you go out and have extinguished this light, may the light of Christ be kindled in your lives. May you know the grace given to you by Bethlehem's child. May you know the love of God, which is unboundless. And will you know the strength of the Holy Spirit that never wearies? Go in peace. Thank you.
is unknown.
Check 5, 6.
What do we still need? Base.
Oh, wait, hold on. I think I'm in the wrong. Oh, there's my voice. Now I'm in the house. Thank you. That was my fault. Sorry.
We have everything? Let's do a sound check with O Come All You Faithful.
Joyful and triumphant.